this is a whole new season for us and everything. I mean, we teach about tithing, but we don't usually take offerings because the bucket is here. We trust God. But since the first of the year, the Lord said to my wife, don't steal God's people from the blessing. See, when you sow seed, you get more seed. And you get more seed to sow. And one of the things that Jesus did, he stood over the offering. In fact, he had close eye when the widow only put two mites in. And she gave out of her lack. She didn't give out of her abundance. She got over. See, Jesus watches over. So he's watching over. Why? Because he's trying to get seed back to you. It is a spiritual law to get to sow so he can get seed back to us so that we can keep his storehouses full and so we can feed, clothe, and shelter. So praise God. Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for everyone that has sowed here today. And Lord, there are needs. We sow joyfully, but we sow also in expectation because you are faithful to return what we sowed. And I'm going to ask today, Lord, that a thousandfold return be placed to your people somehow, some way, whether it be through healing, whether it be through revelation, deliverance, whatever it is, Lord, I'm asking for a thousandfold return be restored back to your people. And I'm asking for vindication on their behalf, what the enemy has stolen from them, that it be restored and returned a thousandfold in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen? Amen. Hallelujah! Let's go to Galatians while we're talking about this. Galatians. In the book of Galatians, please. And we'll go in chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Galatians 6, 7. Do not be what? Deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh, will the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, will the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall what? Reap if we do not what? Lose heart. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So here's an opportunity, isn't it? It's an opportunity. And God brings opportunities to us in multiple ways. And these opportunities in this area of sowing and reaping, not only though you sow to the flesh, which is the things of the world, and you reap corruption. And you know what? What you sow is what you reap. Amen? So there are things that we've sowed to the flesh that we're still reaping on. And one of the ways you outrun the reaping, do you in the flesh, is to sow more into the Spirit. So everybody got it. So you can outrun some of the reaping, do you? That's why when somebody comes into the discipleship house, what we do is we give them deliverance prayers and daily confessions so that they speak them so that they are sowing in the Spirit. And as you begin to sow in the Spirit, God begins to move on your behalf. This is called a spiritual law, isn't it? It's something that God has written that no man can hinder, no matter what. If God says it, so be it. It's going to happen. In this spiritual law, what you and I do when we sow, that is a responsibility, isn't it? It's called an eternal responsibility. And we do have eternal responsibilities. And that's what the Spirit's going to talk about today. Eternal responsibilities. This was ignited yesterday morning at our morning meeting. Would you turn to Luke chapter 12? Eternal responsibilities. Luke chapter 12. And verse 41. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning in the park. Glory to God. Luke 12, verse 41. And let's read this together, please. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And Jesus said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. He will what? Make him. He is a faithful steward. He is one that is responsible. Has everybody got it? Now, responsible or responsibility is the ability to respond to the commands of the master. Everybody get it? It is the ability to respond to the commands of the master, the eternal master. Let's go a little further in verse 45. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the unbeliever. So this person is a believer. And that servant who knew his master's will, come on, are you getting this? And did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed these things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask of the more. Again, a faithful steward is one that is responsible. Responsible. In this area, there are eternal responsibilities. And this responsibility is the ability to respond to the commands of the master. To become responsible, it's going to take training. It takes training. It takes, again, two important things. Discipline and what? Consistency. Discipline in what? Consistency. Which will produce responsibility. So discipline and consistency will produce responsibility. And what is responsibility? The ability to respond to the commands of the master. Now, we used to react a lot, didn't we? That's according to the old man. When you react, it's because you reenact the things of the old way. But now you are going to respond. You're going to respond according to the new commands of God because you have a new life and you are creating a new memory system. Come on, are you getting this? So there's a difference of reacting and responding, isn't there? And there are eternal responsibilities that God has given me and you. And they will be produced and established as you are consistent and disciplined. Now, when these discipline and consistency, which will produce responsibility. Now, this is where a person becomes unmovable. He's unmovable. He's unchangeable to the commands of his master's will. These commands are memories under the new master. You know, the Bible says you can't serve two masters, right? You'll hate the one and love the other. Well, you know, when we were in the world, we were serving the wrong master. The ruler of this earth is Satan, right? Has everybody got it? The ruler of this earth is Satan. Has everybody got it? God has given him the rule. Has everybody got it? Who's the ruler of this earth? Satan. Who's the creator? God. Amen. Jesus. But the ruler of this earth, the ruler of the world system is Satan. So you and I were born in darkness, weren't we? And that's all he wanted to do is constantly clone us according to his ways through music, through TV, through all kinds of things so that we be maintained as offsprings. That's why you must be born again, because you were born in darkness. Now when you are born again, in that born again state of being by the Spirit, God has already given you the ability to respond. It's a gift. It's imparted in you when you are born again. So if you are truly born again, you already have the ability to respond to the master's commands. Are you listening? Again, these commands are memories now. They are new memories because you are now in an arena where you are under the voice of truth. Now, the voice of truth is now creating new memories in your life. See, you don't want to go back to the old memories, do you? Because if you do, you'll reenact things. But now you're going to respond because everything has become new. So there are new memories or commands to follow and obey and carry out because it's a new way of life. Is everybody okay? This is called an eternal responsibility. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Is everybody there? Let's read it together, please. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, even though you may think it's a long affliction, it's a light affliction. Everybody say, I'm going through a light affliction. But I'm going through. For our light afflictions, which are but a moment. Woohoo! It may, for some of us, that moment's been a while, but it's just a moment compared to eternity, isn't it? Is working for us. Everyone say, it's working for me. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So it's working for me, isn't it? While we do not look at the things which are what? Seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So let me share something with you. The unseen is eternal. It's making a place now for eternal responsibilities. When the temporary responsibilities supersede eternal responsibilities, it brings disorder. When eternal responsibilities are not priority, it brings disorder. It brings confusion. Besides, open the door to the enemy. Eternal responsibilities is the ability to respond to the eternal master's commands that are new memories created with new life. You are given an inherent ability to respond to the eternal ways when born again of the Spirit. It's already given in you. So there are temporary responsibilities and there are eternal responsibilities. Let's go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, in verse 1. Let's read it together, please. Matthew 15, in verse 1. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your what? Your traditions." Their traditions or religious flawed belief system has caused them to perceive things incorrectly. Has everybody got it? See, a flawed belief system will cause a person to perceive things incorrectly. And what was happening is they were actually making their traditions more of a responsibility than the eternal responsibilities. Let's go a little further. Verse 4. For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of what? Men." Wow. Men. So they were actually more concerned about temporary responsibilities than eternal, right? This is carnal religion or foolishness. That's what we call the area where an individual priorities are not in order, and they are establishing temporary responsibilities in place of eternal responsibilities, and this is called idolatry. It's called what? Idolatry, because it becomes an idol and things are out of order. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing and fire coming my way. Yeah. It's a season of what? Power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to me. Are you getting it? Do you got it? Did you catch it? Hallelujah. It's yours then. 1 Kings 17:8. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, arise and go to Zaphrath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zaphrath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. Now this is Elijah who the Lord spoke to. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat and die. Hallelujah. They were having their last supper. There was famine. And in this famine, God sent help to this widow. She was a faithful widow. She was honored by the Lord. And in this, she knew that she was going to eat her last bit, her and her son, and they were going to starve to death. But God had another way. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. So this is powerful, because here's this woman. She doesn't have anything to, she's got a little bin, a little oil. She's going to make one little bitsy thing for her and her son, and then they're going to starve to death. And here the man of God comes with a word, the eternal word. There's something that she grabbed hold of right away, because she had a responsibility to give that food to herself and her son so that they'd be together in survival. But she turned it around. She made the choice to do the eternal responsibility first. Do you get this? See, the enemy always comes in areas with fear, because he's always trying to turn your order around. He'll come and attack you in any way he can so that you get out of order. And when you're out of order, you sow in the flesh. And when you sow in the flesh, you reap corruption, and the enemy has access to you again. And things start getting stolen. The enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And you find yourself working like crazy and getting nowhere. You find yourself doing all kinds of things, double the amount that you used to do, and you're not getting anywhere. And does everybody get it? What happens then is the enemy comes and puts limitations on your life. And that's his job. He loves to put limitations on people's life, but I'm telling you, there's a breakthrough of limitations on your life. When you start turning things around and you start doing the eternal responsibilities and putting second temporary responsibilities. And here's proof right here through the word. Is everybody okay? Praise God. So she goes out and gathers, and Elijah says, don't fear. In verse 14, he says, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. And so she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her son and her household ate for what? Many days. And the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. So the widow responded to the eternal words or commands of God by the man of God, Elijah. And she prospered. Again, eternal responsibility before carnal temporary responsibility will prosper you. Has everybody got it? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Remember, the enemy always wants to come and turn disorder. Amen. He's always out to bring disorder. 1 Timothy chapter 6. But I'm telling you, it's a new season. God is exposing, and there are things that are happening. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. Now, don't get me wrong. You take care of eternal responsibilities first, but it doesn't mean that you let go of temporary responsibilities. Hello? Because if you're faithful in the eternal, you will be faithful in the temporary. Are you listening? I hope. Although some people are more faithful in the temporary than they are in the eternal. But then you're not a good steward, are you? Then you're not a good steward. Then you're sowing to the flesh and you will reap what? Corruption. And verse 11. Let's read it. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Ah, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on what? Lay hold on eternal life. Let me share with you. Lay hold. Listen, lay hold on eternal life. Now, if you're laying hold on eternal life, or let's just say, if you can't lay hold on eternal responsibilities, can you lay hold on eternal life? No. Amen. No. Let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of people surprised when they try to enter the kingdom of God. Because if you and I can't lay hold of on eternal principles, how can we lay hold on eternal life? Eternal responsibilities is a part of eternal life. Listen, your eternal life doesn't start when you die. It started when you were born again. So if your eternal life started when you were born again, and you were born again here on this side, then there are eternal responsibilities, isn't there? And these are things that you and I must practice. Practice. And if we're not practicing eternal responsibilities, how can we expect eternal life? Something to think about. Don't pray about it. Just do it. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate that you what? Keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appears, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and the holy Pontius, the King of kings and the what? Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Lay hold of eternal life. You cannot lay hold of eternal life without laying hold of eternal responsibilities. The ability to respond to the eternal commands, principles, and character of Christ. Romans 2. This is a way of life. It isn't just on Sundays. or Christmas or Easter or this is a way of life. Why? Because we're eternal. Then we need to act eternal. We need to conduct things in eternal. We need to not only our conduct, but our responsibilities. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, would you read it, please? Therefore, you are what? Inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the what? The judgment of God. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? Repentance. But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in a day of wrath, revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient do what? Patient continuance. That means practice. Patient continuance in doing good, seek for the glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are what? Self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. So there is no excuse not to practice eternal responsibilities. Maintain proper order, which is divine order, by practicing eternal responsibilities. How about prayer? Is that an eternal responsibility? Yes. Yes. How about praise? How about worship? How about assembling? Yes. How about tithing and offering? Yeah. Well, how about becoming a productive member in the body of Christ? How about fulfilling your call? How about battle? How about exposing the devil? How about rejecting temptation? Isn't that your eternal responsibility? How about coming out from among them? How about rescuing the lost? How about not touching unclean things? How about manifesting the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit? How about casting out a devil, especially the one that's in your mirror? How about denying yourself? How about picking up your cross? How about following Jesus? Isn't that your eternal responsibility? Yeah. How about avoiding appearance of evil? How about have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them? How about to become like-minded with the mind of Christ? Isn't that our eternal responsibility? Amen? We need to get things in order. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, verse 18. Is everybody there? Yeah, right, I'm not there. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Glory, let's read this together. We know that whoever is ever born of God does not sin. Or that means have fellowship with darkness. But he who has been born of God, what? Keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Who's the wicked one? Satan. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Why? Because he's ruler, isn't he? And we know that the Son of God has come and given us a what? Understanding that we may what? Know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from what? Idols. And what is idolatry? Getting things what? Out of order. putting temporary responsibilities before eternal responsibilities. Go to Romans chapter 1. Almost done. About 40 more scriptures will be out of here. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Let's read it together. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. So we're without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became what? They became what? Fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. So the wrath of God is coming. Why? To individuals not practicing eternal responsibilities. Does everybody have it? Well, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, that's fantastic. Now follow him. The word believe means to follow. You can't just go, I accept Jesus as my Savior, go out and serve the devil and expect to go home. That ain't going to work. That's foolish. And that's not God's doctrine. That's the doctrine of demons. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. Is everybody okay? Yes. Are you ready to practice eternal responsibilities? Yes. Praise God. And verse 9, let's sing it. Therefore, make it. Come on, let's read it together. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be what? Well-pleasing. It's our aim. It's our eternal responsibility. There should be a desire to be pleasing to him. If that desire is not there, you're not his. Hello? Something ain't right. If you don't have a desire to please God, you out of order. Something's not right. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We what? We persuade them. But we are well known to God, and also trust is well known in your conscience. Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 16. So we want to practice eternal responsibilities, don't we? That's practicing righteousness, isn't it? If you're not practicing eternal responsibilities, you are not practicing righteousness. Psalm 18 and verse 16. Is everybody there? Let's read it. It says, he sent me from above, he took me, and he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Does God delight in you? Yeah. The Lord rewarded me according to my what? Whoa! He rewarded me according to my what? My righteousness. That's practicing eternal responsibilities. According to the cleanliness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all of his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness and according to the cleanliness of my hands. Isn't that powerful? So he sees, doesn't he? So will you be rewarded by practicing eternal responsibilities? Yes, because you are practicing what? Righteousness. And I want to close it. Revelation 3. Eternal responsibilities, the ability to respond to the master's commands. Hallelujah. The ability to respond to new memories that have been created with truth. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 14, is everybody there? And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, how did they get that way? Serving what? Temporary responsibilities and not keeping priorities. I counsel you to buy for me what? Gold refined in fire, that you may be what? Rich and in white garments, and that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. In other words, turn away from practicing. Get your things in order. Eternal responsibilities, then temporary responsibilities. For behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So I pray today that you had an ear to hear what the Spirit says. Amen? And get things in order, practicing eternal responsibilities and then temporary responsibilities. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed that's been imparted here today be protected by the blood of Christ and grow and bear fruit for your glory. And that we may be a sign and wonder, practicing eternal responsibilities to be a light to those who are in need. We give all the glory to Jesus. All the glory. Now, Lord, let your will be done in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.